anymore.
You have said that.
Because it doesn't, if I play a song, like in some shows, I'll play a song. The Zoom recorder doesn't pick it up. It picks up the voices, but it doesn't pick up the music if I play it. Like, for example, if I played a song right now and you, it would sound very staticky to you, even though over the air it sounds fine.
Right.
But there's some kind of issue with Google's, Zoom's audio. Okay, so it's now 7 o'clock. Let me turn on the recorder. It is on. Mikey, take it away.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know, morning, night, evening, whatever time you're listening to this incredibly end-of-the-road on the internet. Gosh, you found us. I can't believe it. Show from enlightenedradio.org. We are the Sports Attack this morning, and we're going to do a little bit of commentary on that with me, your Sports Attack guy, Mike Cucarini, and your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, and the guy who makes everything tick at Enlightened Radio, Mr. John Case, everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, and
glad to be here, Mike.
Today, I just wanted to get up a subject. Oh, man, hey, you're muted, dude.
Glad to be here, hey. Mike. Just glad to be here with you.
So good to be here, John, with you. I appreciate it. And I just wanted to mention that young lady, for the first time, I think she's between 22 and 24 years old, has been awarded a four-year football scholarship, not as a kicker, as a safety and cornerback.
Jesus.
And she's already – I wouldn't put anything past her because she's already beat cancer in her young life, which is which is truly amazing. I think it's Central Methodist University that provided the scholarship, and I'm just that's pretty impressive.
It's unbelievable. I mean, is that a first? I mean, as far as you know,
there was another young lady that got to sign a 4-year deal, but she was the kicker, and she was a damn good kicker.
Right, but she wasn't so much contact. You know, right.
Well, and this girl will get after you. She'll hit you in the face.
How much does she weigh?
164.
160. So she's a big girl.
And she's 5'6", 5'7", 164. She's really strong. She's really, you know, there's a lot of guys that play in the Division II, Division III, Division I that are actually that huge. Some of them are just really well built. Some guys are out there. I knew a guy that played for the University of Pittsburgh that was 5'7" and 175 pounds.
Wow. No, that's extraordinary.
And he was a stat back and a slot receiver. So, you know, you have that opportunity. If you can get somebody that is good at finding little nooks and crannies in the defense and can set down in the open field and give that quarterback an option in those 3 seconds, that's what you got to do.
Well, she's coming in as a safety right now. That's the return.
Yeah. She's going to be playing defense.
Defense. So she's going to be tackling people.
No, safety cornerback is a defensive player. Yes. And she's a damn good tackler. You should see some of her highlight reel.
So she's not going to be returning the football like,
No, safety. See, John, the safeties are the players who play back and cover the other team's receivers. Okay. Safeties and corners.
All right.
Depending upon what defense is set, is it a 5-over-5? Do I got double safeties deep? Do I got one shell safety deep, and the corners are playing up and smash mouth, or the corners are playing back and letting them come at you? Whatever. You know, she can play, and that's a hard. The way it was put, I think, by so succinctly. By the way, congratulations to the DC Defenders of the XFL. They'll be playing in the Northern Division Championship game this weekend against the Sea Dragons, the Seattle Sea Dragons.
Right.
Are 7-3, and the DC Defenders, they won another really nail biter, 26-25 this past weekend, and did not play up to what we're used to seeing on their defense.
Right.
The defense kind of had some laps in it. However, they're going into the championship for the Northern Division. So there's two playoff games going on, the Southern Division Championship in XFL and then the Northern Division Championship. I don't know who's playing in the Southern one because I'm paying more attention to the Northern one. But if they win, they will move on to the XFL championship.
Let me go back a minute to the woman that, what's her name? Do we know her name yet?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'll find it for you. It's terrible that I...
And while you're looking that up, I was just going to... I was wondering, I mean, you have some of the backs, right? The fullbacks and the halfbacks, whatever. When they're running...
Those are running backs, John. Those are all offensive players.
Hold on. Yeah, so running backs that are probably going to weigh, you know, 200, 250, could weigh up to 200, two and a quarter. Jimmy, what's the famous guy with 225 pounds? That's awful. Well, big. That's awful big for someone weighing 165 to tackle. No, am I wrong?
Well, it is and it isn't. Let's keep in mind that Darryl Green played in the NFL for, good Lord, I don't know how many years. Tony Harris.
That's her name.
Antonio, who has her name as Tony Harris.
Okay.
And she was given the ride to Central Methodist University.
Okay.
So I'm sure everyone's very proud.
It's really extraordinary. I want to see one of the games if they're going to televise one of them.
Yeah, they got the games. If they get some views, I'd like to see that as well. I really would. No, I'd like to see that.
That's something else.
So,
I mean,
I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but she's, 22, 23 years old, and she's 164. She could probably pack on some muscle weight in the next couple of months and get herself up to like 172 to 175.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
She's, I thought she's a real.
Wow.
She's a real force too, man. She wants education too.
You mean she doesn't want to play professional football until she's busted up?
Well, she said her goal ultimately is to play professional football.
Wow. Wow.
So I don't put anything past anybody these days.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's extraordinary.
It's a different world. You got to be careful with how you speak to people and how you deal with them. You can't scream and yell like the coaches of old, Although I do miss some of those press conferences that were hilarious.
Yeah.
Denny Green, when he was coaching Minnesota, Denny's like, they are who we thought they were. You want to clown them? Go ahead and clown them. And we let them off the hook. I was like, wow, that was weird. Or Jim Mora, when one of the reporters, do you think your chances of making the playoffs are kind of dimmed by this last playoffs?
Well, we couldn't do diddly poo.
It's tough, right? Because in athletics, you're trying to organize people into putting an effort that's greater than they even think they can make, in order to go over the top. And I don't know, the techniques of getting people to really go over their top, so to speak.
You
got to push people.
If it's a team sport, in any team sport, it's a bunch of different people getting together to accomplish a common goal. Whether that be soccer, baseball, basketball, football, pickleball, whatever the hell you got, you're trying to win. That's the whole point of this. But I think sometimes the winning has crossed over into just this filthy amount of advertising money. It's just plus the fact that they're promoting, gambling organizations. And you've seen that proliferation, like DraftKings and all these folks are like, hey, you want to come on the DraftKings app and spend some money? We'll give you $50 to lose $1,000.
Right. It seems like, though, there's been a long list of, coaching abuses that sometimes take quite a while to be exposed. And then there's victims along the way. And then sometimes it's pretty late in the game when they get caught or something has to happen.
Well, you can only, when you talk about that, all you really have to do is mention John Gruden. John Gruden got a 10-year, $100 million contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. Then when they started to actually initiate an investigation of Dan Snyder, conveniently, all of these racist, old homophobic racist emails came out about what John Gruden was saying to some of his team or some of his players that played for him.
Yeah.
And it was not pretty. So, yeah. You know, he had to resign. And I don't know where he's at now. I know Jay, his brother, coached the Washington team for a while. And I do believe with a different owner, it would have been a different outcome. And, you know, that which brings me to happy day. Happy day, John. Boston, see ya. See ya, little Danny douchebag. Bye. No more fucking Snyderitis for us, pal.
I think I headlined your last show with that, you know, but...
I don't blame you. I don't blame you for headline because it's exciting news. I mean, it's not...
Right.
It's exciting news, but it's also exciting. The thing that people are losing track of, and I know your wife is a huge Nationals fan, as am I.
She is.
And they're having a tough season, but let's keep in mind, let's not get crazy and beat the shit out of these guys because they're actually playing good baseball.
Right.
Wow. And that's the first step. You saw the Orioles start to do that towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Orioles are pretty damn formidable right now. The Orioles are playing good baseball, solid baseball.
Right.
And they actually probably have a little bit better of a pitching staff. That's our problem. It's been a problem for a very long time. We can't get pitchers in that we can pay a lot of money to. The last one we did is now probably never going to play again. You know, Steven Strasburg was probably one of the better pitchers, younger pitchers in the entire league. Look, man, he won the MVP of the World Series.
Yep.
The MVP. And now he can't, I don't know if he could even throw a baseball.
Because he had
major surgery.
Yeah.
He got injured. He had surgery before that. He had Tommy John surgery a long time ago. And he was
Tommy John surgery for those who don't know that, what that is. Yeah.
It's in your elbow. They put an additional tendon, and sometimes they get that tendon from your thigh and reattach it. And then you have to go through a lot of rehab to get that arm used to and welcoming that tendon. You know what I mean? All those things have to, and it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And you better be dedicated to it. I mean, for God's sakes, if Howie Kendrick at the age of 36 can split his Achilles on a play, not be able to play the rest of the year and come back next year and just like a house of fire.
Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
He's one of those ideal guys that played and played and played and played for a long time, busted his ass, got to the World Series, won the World Series, and then looked around and went, I don't need to fucking play anymore.
I've done it. There you go.
Yeah, I did it all. I came back from an injury. I got in the World Series. I hit a home run to change the whole dynamic of our series. Shit, they were down in that series to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And Kendrick came up and went, bam!
Yeah, he did. Right.
And my wife and I were going, Howie Kendrick, bam, 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 Howie Kendrick.
Right, right. That's great.
It was great. It was truly a wonderful experience to be a fan from the beginning, to see how they moved to RFK, trying to find ownership. The Lerner stepped up, purchased the team, had a nice run for a long time, and now the Lerners are trying to sell the team, and apparently there's been an offer talked about that was...
Are you there? We lost Mike for a second here. Mike? Dial back in, Mike. Dial back in. Well, let's pause the tape for a second. Continue the tape. There we go. Okay. Hi, Mike. you had a blackout.
I did. It was weird. It's the first time the computer's ever done that.
Man, that's scary. You know,
it reset itself. Like while we were, I must have said something to offend it. I don't know.
Did it reboot and stuff? Is that what it did?
Yeah. I rebooted everything, so I had to log back and log all the way back in. And
Damn.
Well, I mean, I was able to do it, so I'm pleased about that.
Right. Unless it happens again in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, you don't know.
That happened to me a week ago on the poetry show. I was going along, and all of a sudden, there came the blue screen of death. Boom! You know. I don't know what it was.
No, I do know
what it was.
I promised myself I wasn't going to do Awaken Bank, but this proved to be unsuccessful.
Yeah, it's very challenging. Yes, I agree. Yeah, you know, good opportunity. Well, anyway, you were in the middle of... what were you in the middle of exactly?
I can't remember back that far.
Oh, Mike, what? Jesus.
I have all these expectations of my brain working, and it just doesn't work anymore.
By the way, when is the next Olympic season coming up? I mean, I see all these problems around the world, and I assume it's going to affect the Olympics somehow, you know, but like they'll be canceled or...
Well, it usually does affect it, but, you know, I'm not feeling it in terms of the Olympics the way I used to. I'm not really,
yeah,
you know, I like watching some of the competition, you know.
Yeah,
it's like where, especially the Winter Olympics, where everybody's like, you know, I really love curling. Really?
Yeah,
right. yeah it's a great game. It's a, you know, shuffleboard on ice.
It is an odd sport, that's true. I've heard about it for years, but
the people that do it are really, really dedicated. Man. It's like asking
thing.
Somebody, what do you do for a living? I'm a professional bowler.
Yeah, right.
I love that. I think that's
great.
It
used to be perfectly acceptable. I don't know about now, but do people go bowling that much? And like, you used to go
It, I don't think it's like your old, chain smoking, beer swilling. You know, they consider themselves more like, ooh, I better be in great shape for my arm. You know, they do all these things because we have this digital breakdown of somebody's release with a bowling ball, and they're looking at their release and going, man, I got to do this or that, or, you know, they're evaluating themselves and trying to get better.
I know my folks thought it was a good idea to take us out to go to a bowl. That was like a family outing, go to a bowling alley. And
we never did that because my dad felt like it was a horrible waste of time.
Well, my dad probably
really
did too, but he went, I don't know, a couple times.
We couldn't really afford it. We you know, we pretend bowled in the woods or something. We'd find a rock and, you know. Me and my brothers just throw the rocks at each other.
I was growing up, I don't remember bowling being very expensive. I mean, you used to be able to go in and...
But it is now. So
it is now? Expensive. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just... I miss it because that's an activity that Patience and I used to do on the regular.
Yeah, right. You know,
we used to go out and bowl, and she's a really good bowler. I have a tendency... I don't have a spin on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys spin it to kind of...
I know, go, right? You know, yeah, yeah.
They put all that English on. I just take the ball and throw it as hard as I can right down the middle.
Right.
And usually it's like in the air like too long.
Yeah.
You can hit it down and then it rolls in, and usually I do pretty good. I do all right.
You imagine if it doesn't come in and says you're supposed to roll the ball, not throw it.
Yeah, well, I know. Even, you know, prior to her becoming my wife, her being my fiance, she was like, you know, you realize you're throwing the ball almost halfway down the alley. I was like, yeah, that's just the way I bowl. I'm sorry. Really good. But she didn't tell me she was like a shark at darts. Good Lord.
Really, huh? She
played darts with my wife. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and watch you play.
Right, you're not going to put any money in. All right. So
well, it's shit.
Right. Well, now for example, we used to play.
Tremendous.
What about
basketball player too?
What about pickup games? Okay, now you remember? I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, we had a lot, and we used to play. We'd put together a baseball game. We would threaten other kids if they didn't show up to play baseball.
They'd never play again, or
we would be permanently isolated,
to your swimming
pool,
Tommy.
Or we would do something terrible to them, whatever.
Yeah, we're not going to come over and do the sled riding on the back hill with you anymore, unless you play baseball.
Well, yeah, so it was a lot of peer pressure, right? We had but we did it. Well, we did play. We played pretty regularly. Okay, I don't know how, and I don't. I'm looking around the neighborhood. I don't see any pickup games of any kind.
I grew up, John, in a cul-de-sac. In a court,
mm-hmm.
was no house right here between these two. Our house was here. There was another house here, and then it was a whole gap right there, a big field.
You know,
and then right here there was another house. So we had that all open. So right at the end, we put a basketball court. So
between here
and
there,
we marked it on the cul-de-sac. We actually painted it to the regulation size,
right.
So we could play. You know, pick up. We had pickup games of. When I was a kid,
basketball.
We played wiffle ball, we played basketball, we played baseball, but we couldn't play baseball on the street because they didn't want the ball breaking people's windows. That's why, hence the wiffle ball.
Yeah.
But we would practice in the front yard with a baseball. My brothers and I would throw the baseball around, and so would my dad.
Right.
So, yeah, and then you got baseball going, and then, of course, if you don't want to do that, you can go right to the court, right out there, and play basketball. There's always a pickup game.
Right.
There's always people around wanting to play. There was some really good – my neighbor across the street, Mervin, man, good Lord, that guy couldn't miss.
Yeah.
He just,
it was good,
just came out, just swish. Like, it's like, okay, I'm picking first. I got Mervin. He's on my team. Herb Peel's on my team. He's
well, now, another thing I'm thinking about here is that in the high schools across the country, I mean, you know, they're all having problems with budgets. We can tell by the declining performance of American schools, at least in some areas. But that must be having an impact on the sports and team budgets, right, of high schools, right? Because there's
– Sure.
Do you have – How bad is that getting? Is that
In some places it's getting better, in some places it's getting worse. You know, it just there's no real comprehensive plan by anybody in this country on in terms of education. I know there's a thought process about that says, look, I can go to high school for 4 years, graduate, and go to a 2-year school and then transfer. Right. And that's what a lot of people do. That's kind of a conventional way of doing it. But right now, I think even companies are admitting to themselves, our educational requirement is too high. We need to pull this back a little and try to get some folks in here and train them.
Well, now, what do you mean? Give me an example of what you mean by that.
Well, for example, if somebody was, say, had a great deal of experience working for the government in a certain area, but they never bothered to get their degree and they wanted to move from government to private, they could probably do that on maybe a lateral move or more advancement or, you know, not a huge raise, but usually people don't leave the security of a government job for a contracting job unless it's really, really palatable to the person and their family.
Or they're making more money.
Right. And I'm not saying that a shitload of people are getting hired that don't have degrees. They still prefer that you have the 4-year, you know, and they prefer that you have experience. But in some cases, there are, like, for example, the new governor of Pennsylvania has hired a great many people without 4-year degrees.
Yeah. Okay.
So and they're pretty damn impressive folk too. You know, they work very hard. So,
well,
I'm not saying don't get educated. That's not what I'm saying, because that's not something that was ingrained. I mean, I tried. Believe me, I tried. I mean, I went to a 2-year community college, and I came really close to getting my 2-year degree. I just never got it.
Right.
You know, I just never went back and got it. I never had the, I guess, the enthusiasm for it, or in my case, probably the money.
The stats are not great on incomes. Yeah. Now, they track people's incomes related to their education. A lot of places. And, you know, if you don't get the degree, there is a substantial difference in income. Now, that's not, there's obviously many exceptions, but I mean, you know how they're doing these on the
Well,
on
we've
the
also, but, you know, we've also pulled away on vocational training, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, try to find a welder, okay? You'll hear a lot of companies, because a lot of these industrial jobs, the community college system has not, well, certainly in West Virginia, has not been developed way near where it needs to be. We got Blue Ridge, but I think that's right. About it.
Well, they also have, you know, we have this... I mean, it's really quite sad, actually. And some of, I think, the lack of education, from what I've seen institutionally, seems like it's forced. You know, cutting the budget so they can afford to give subsidies to a corporation.
Well, yeah.
You know, and then the corporation comes in, does what it's going to do, maximizes its dollar, and then leaves. You see, that's, to me, I don't think that, I think you need to get more long-term. Now, I'm not saying that people should, I guess my point is try like hell to educate yourself to a certain extent.
Right.
Understand what it is that you really want to do and try to meet the goals that put you there.
Right.
And I say that knowing it sounds freaking hypocritical coming from me. It really does. Because I made the smart decision from a very secure office job with a really nice paycheck and having a house to go. And you know what? I think I can travel for 2,000 miles and tell 200 drunks a bunch of dick jokes. I can do that.
Well, you know, you have your shot at the entertainment world, which is, you know.
Well, I don't mean,
performance is different, is a high, right? You know, for.
Oh, yeah.
It is, you know. I mean, you get feedback from an audience that's, you know, you're connecting. You can tell you're connecting. And everybody that's done that, and including the headliners, right? I mean, they all say, right? It's just you can't replace that feeling. That's unequaled.
Yeah, it's, you know? It's, there's a, you know, you've seen me on stage before. You know how
you're good. You know, you get onto it. You know, you get on a roll.
I get going, working. Man. It's, you know, any comic that's been at it for a really long time gets going and gets the audience going. It's just, there's nothing.
It's a thrill. Yeah, it is. You know,
it is. It's a real thrill ride. So.
Yeah, you can tell that with some of the, you know, musical and other performances when somebody really hits it out of the park, you know, and it connects with people. You know, wow. You know, it's
yeah, when you've watched something, very special and it's over with,
right.
You're kind of, you know, deflated a little bit from and a little tired from laughing too hard.
Right.
I say that that's a skill that takes a long time, but I can tell you there are some folks who have mastered it. I think I've only seen Brett Leake do one show without a standing ovation.
Really?
Why? That's interesting, yeah. Almost every show, that guy, it's
right.
He's what we would call handy capable. I think he is an MS or MS? I'm not quite if he has muscular dystrophy. I know he's in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
and I know he's outlived all expectations. And he's the type of guy. If you go to PBS and look up Knucklehead, you'll find a little bio thing on Brett Leake, and it's all about words. It's about the way we use the language, and it's just so damn funny. It's just so well presented,
right.
You know,
right.
he talks about, I went out and bought some cheese.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They said it's going to last. And how come it doesn't last for a week in my refrigerator? Why is that?
Why is that? Yeah, right. All right.
It's just funny. If somebody says you're not quite yourself today, ask them this. Then why are you telling me?
Yeah, that's right.
It's just all this philosophical stuff, man.
So what's
Brett has a great delivery. I mean, it's just one of the best deliveries you've ever seen.
I gotta see him. I never, you know, we just.
I know you really do. You really should treat yourself, John, because it's there's nothing foul about it. It's not dirty.
Yeah, but I. But I all I see on the is I see the Netflix specials with you know some headline acts, right? But I you know with no local club other than the one you were performing at there in Charlestown. Are they still doing stand up? Are they still doing stand up in Charleston?
No. The pandemic just killed a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of those satellite clubs aren't doing stand up anymore. They're just trying to hang on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes,
that's and some of them, you know, the numbers just weren't. You can't do it without the numbers. A friend of mine called me, an old friend of mine that I wouldn't call us friends, but I knew of him. He knew of me. And he was calling me for some references on some bigger name acts. And I'm like, I have no idea, dude. I've been at it. So I would have known this 3 years ago. Who's hot? You know, 4 years ago. Who's hot on the circuit? Who can you get? Blah, blah, blah. How much is blah, blah, blah? Right. Can we get them to come in and do this? And I told him, I said, you know, look, dude, I've been out of it so long. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
So you're going to need to call somebody younger than this old man, because I've really been out of it long enough to where I just recognize who I think still is very funny, but I also understand that coming up behind that is a whole lot of funny. You know, there's a lot of younger, funnier comics than I ever thought about being. Incredible.
Well, humor will never die. Humor will never die. Hey,
some of them are just painful to watch.
By the way, let's. I was thinking of we could close out our sports attack here. If you could tell us what's coming up this week and next in sports that you're really looking forward to watching, and maybe excite some of our listeners about.
Thank you so much, John. I think I've just finished breakfast.
What?
I've just concluded my breakfast, John.
Oh no, are we talking to Hannibal Lecter now about Jesus? Hannibal, what's to eat this week? Maybe I should have asked that question.
Some lovely, lovely NBA playoffs.
Yes, lovely, lovely NBA playoffs.
Very large men who have huge calves. I don't know if you've ever tasted it.
Right. Okay.
It requires low and slow.
What's the agent, the FBI agent that you're fond of? What's her name? Claire?
Clarice.
I forgot, yes.
Just a cut above your right ankle, Clarice. And you hear the lamb screaming.
I know.
No, seriously, let's get into this real quick, because the NBA playoffs are boiling down here. The Golden State Warriors tied up their series. I think it's 2-2, which is interesting. And then you have the Memphis Grizzlies and the Los Angeles Lakers going at it. Mm-hmm. I think that series is 2-2. There's a couple other series. I think Boston won already. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I have to check, because it's just New York played really well, and they're up. And if they win one more game, they're moving on for the first time in 10 years, the New York Knicks.
This is the Knicks. Yeah, right. Yeah, Knicks. Yeah.
So that's a big deal. You got the NBA playoffs going on. You got the MLB is just smoking hot right now. You're looking at coming up is the draft, the NFL draft, which they made this 3-day celebration of, you know, signing new prospects to your team. The Commanders have the 16th pick. In an interview recently, Ron Rivera was quoted as saying, "We have a plan. We got together at the end of the season and talked about what our plan was going forward. We know what we're going to do in the draft." And that's a big deal.
Right.
To actually have that secured right now, knowing what direction you're going to go. I have no idea who they're going to pick with the 16th pick. I do know this, that Chase Young is on his last year of his rookie contract. And Ron Rivera did not have nice things to say about Chase at the end of last year.
Wow. Okay.
He was a little disappointed in the young guy. And I know that injuries take a long time to recover from, and he had a horrible injury. he didn't come back as strong as he could have, but he didn't play in a lot of games. I think he only played like barely half the season. So I think you got to get him into camp, see how he's doing, and kind of shake the show. Just because he's just such a raw talent, I don't think you want to let that guy go.
No. Hey, by the way, we're up.
Hey, okay, this is your contract year. This is a contract year. A lot of these guys have a tendency to go, what?
Right.
And then they go crazy.
Hey, we're up against the time limit here a bit.
We are, my friend.
Can you take us out in a salty manner that you're famous
for? I want to thank everybody for coming here, brother. Let me tell you something. What are you going to do when my blind, toothless friend walks all over you?
What? What was that?
Let me tell you something, brother. Well, Tony Schiavone, whether you like it or don't like it, that's the best thing going tonight.
All right. You've been listening to the Sports Attack on www.enlightenedradio.org. And by the way, we're moving to we're on Wednesdays now. Mondays. Mondays. We're on Mondays now. Thanks to because Janet Harrison wants to participate in our poetry show, and that's great.
Right. And Charlie Wiener, we'll talk to you soon, pal. We're gonna do that interview, man.
Everybody, take care. It's late, but everything comes next.